This is Twit.
Flo, you have the Chromecast with Google TV as your story.
We do.
Because you have one.
I do. Sorry. I was adjusting the light. So, yeah, before we get into it, though, before we get into all the specs and everything, I want to just, like, jump right into show and tell. So, this is the Google TV with Chromecast. It is the brand new dongle that you can get with Google TV. Now, I got mine in white, but it's available in a pinkish color. I unfortunately forgot to fill that out in my notes. Oh, no. Excuse me. This is snow. It also comes in sunrise and sky. Sunrise is the pinky color and sky is the bluish color. So now you might be wondering why you'd want something that's color coordinated when it's installed on the back of TV via HDMI, as we see here. Well, for what it's worth, I think if aesthetics really matter to you, you probably will want to choose a color that you like. And you can see the dongle hanging out unless you have a giant TV to cover it. So I have mine installed. This usually goes into a 32-inch TV in the family room. And since my main living room TV already has the Mi Box connected to it, this is what you're seeing hanging off the back of that TV. It's very obviously there. Now, I have seen some folks post about adding a USB-C hub to it to kind of add functionality because it connects to the power via USB-C, but it looks funny. So, I don't know. It's really up to you if you want to do that. And I don't know if this is the kind of device that you want to do this with. I feel like that's better set up for the set-top boxes, the Mi Box or the NVIDIA Shield. Now, a couple of quick specs on this. This is $50 for this package. It's the dongle and the remote. It has 4K HDR support, Dolby Vision Atmos support, 8 gigs of internal storage. It does not have Stadia support, which is a major point of contention right now, and not until mid-2021 will that happen. And if you do want that Ethernet connection, again, you can get that aforementioned little USB-C dongle that I mentioned, and or try and fashion your own via Amazon, as we have seen people do across. I want to talk a little more about the remote for this. So this is the remote right here. And if you think it looks really familiar, that's because it is very familiar. Now, this, I think, was the most exciting part of this product for a lot of folks. It has, I'm just going to go through the buttons real quick for those of us who are just listening into the audio feed. We've got this massive navigational button right here. The middle button is okay. The circle button around it, those are the right, left, up, down buttons. We've got a back button, an assistant button, which calls up the assistant, a home, a mute, a Netflix button. And a YouTube button, which can be switched back and forth between YouTube and YouTube TV, depending on what you like. The power button down here, it turns off the Chromecast, and it's supposed to turn off your TV. But my IR, as you can see the little IR up here, it's wonky with this, and I can't get it to work past the volume rocker, which I will get into a second. So one other little thing is this last little button right here. This is an input button. Oh, good job focusing camera. This is an input button, and this will let you switch between Google TV or just plain Chromecast mode if you just want to do it that way. Okay, so the volume rocker. Again, this looks very familiar. So this design really feels like a throwback to Daydream VR. And yeah, I know it kind of feels like, well, it's just part of Google's design paradigm. It's really friendly. It's round. It's this capsule shape. It's super cute. But to me, a longtime Google user, it just kind of feels like a way to recycle manufacturing IP. And I know that's a little harsh, but there's something about this side button for the volume that is just not working for me. I've had to teach every person, which haven't been a lot of people because, again, we're sheltering in place. But I've had to teach the few people who have used this remote where the volume is because it's just not programmed in us. I would love to have a volume button, honestly, just right here on the top, just right on the plain flat of the remote, the way every other TV remote has been for the past, 60 years? It's just such a different thing. I do want to talk about the interface a bit. But before I do that, do you guys mind if I switch my camera real quick? back to my face.
Go ahead and switch. It's all good.
So
while you switch, I will just agree that the placement of that volume rocker does not make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, it seems like it's like they're maybe trying to be a little bit sleeker and smarter than they really needed to be on there. And it also really seems kind of small. Like, it almost seems like it might be kind of difficult to register, but I don't know. Like, the buttons are a little flat, but hard to say when I don't have it in my hands like you do, Flo.
Yeah. Well, my daughter likes to suck on it, so it's the right.
Keep the remote right away from your daughter.
For a teething baby. But okay, I want to talk about the interface for a bit. And I do apologize. I don't have any like interface screenshots. It's really hard to do that without a capture card. And, you know, right now I'm really missing being in the studio because I would be able to give you a more adequate demo. But I know there's a lot of folks listening in on audio. So I'm going to try and keep this, you know, as succinct as I can. What you are getting with the new Google TV, it's very similar to Android TV as it stands now, but a much harder emphasis on specific content and content specifically that is catered to you. So for instance, rather than separating out content by app, as you would have seen in the original Android TV interface, Google TV separates them by genre. So for me, for instance, you can imagine there's like three different rows of reality TV, one of which is categorized as romance television. I don't know. I mean, romance happens. A lot of them end up in divorce on reality TV, but that's neither here nor there. So, you know, there are a couple rows in between those suggestions that will show you like app specific suggestions, like here's what's trending in Google Play or here's what's trending on Netflix. And that's great because it kind of helps you like figure out what to watch without actually jumping into the app and scrolling around, figuring it out. I also really like there's a really quick launch of whatever I was watching recently. Android TV does have that, but there's just something, the placement is just, it's a lot more up top. It's, I don't know, I found it to be a lot better at suggesting it to me because it wasn't just suggesting stuff I had half watched, if that made sense. So in conversation with Google, I learned that there is actually some editorializing with the Google TV interface that happens behind the scenes. I'm trying to figure out what that refers to specifically, but I can say for the most part, you're going to get a very like Netflix, Disney Plus type of curated experience where you're just going to see like what's trending with people. And this kind of helps Google TV to feel a little more thematic and a little less chaotic than I think it is now in the like the current Android TV implementation. So it's nice to, it does feel a little more structured. It just feels that way, which I wholeheartedly appreciate. There are a couple things I'm still learning about Google TV. I'm trying to learn how to get the algorithm to stop suggesting I watch cable news on YouTube TV, even though I have hid them in the app. So I just don't want it. I don't want it when I log in. That's not why I'm going into. I'm going to escape when I watch television, not dive into it. I'm also trying to learn how to use the watch list, just kind of what the long-term benefit of it is besides, I mean, it will pin shows and movies to your account. So you're going to have more of a hook into whatever you're watching, whatever you're consuming. And it's very similar to the watch list that you would have had on Play Movies TV beforehand, just in the app. But I'm just trying to figure out, like, I feel like it's going to take a little bit for me to really understand how this is playing in with other apps, with other suggestions. I really like that some apps let you log in from the phone without having to actually log in on Google TV. So for instance, I share a Netflix account with my best friend. I don't know her password off the top of my head. Instead of having to go dig for it, wherever it was pasted, I just launched the Netflix app on my phone. It said, "Hey, I recognize the Family Room TV. Would you like to log in there?" And I said, "Absolutely." And then I was able to continue watching Moesha over the weekend, as we do every Sunday morning. There's a lot of little touches like this across the board that I think a lot of folks are really going to appreciate, especially if you're coming from Android TV. Just very quickly, the assistant functionality, it's, I think, the most controversial part of this whole thing. So again, that is like the core ethos of why you're bringing a Google product into your house is you want to access the assistant right there and you have it on the remote, that push button access. I use it a couple times for bringing up like a family photo album. But other than that, I already have way too many smart speakers and smart displays surrounding the actual Chromecast that I don't bother defaulting to that. And I will say that in recent days, I've noticed that assistant call up, it's way faster on the new Chromecast than it is with the Mi Box. I know I complain a lot about the Mi Box, but I think in this example, it's really standing out as, you know, what the core differences are. And I can already tell whatever's inside of this feels more powerful than whatever's inside that box in my living room TV. And this is only $50. Well, that was $50 too, but that was with a coupon. So something to think about. Overall, this is a great little dongle if you just want like a full-blown interface for streaming content to a TV or maybe a dilapidated monitor. I really prefer the sort of caveman way of using an IR remote to navigate the TV. It's very much how I enjoy watching TV. I did not like the way of going to my phone. It was a very singular experience too, because if we were looking for something to watch as a family, one person is the person screening it for everybody. And so with this new Google TV interface, a lot more people can come in and go, oh, why don't we watch the baseball game? Oh, why don't we watch that movie? It's playing on this channel. And the Google TV does give you suggestions for that. Again, a lot better than what Android TV was giving me. I do think, though, that the real test for this is going to be what it's like on the NVIDIA Shield, what it's like on some of the older devices that people are going to go hold on to. But for now, I think this is a great way that Google is going to compete directly with the Apple TVs and Rokus. So $50, Chromecast with Google TV.
I feel like the punctuation to that is finally.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, Chromecast has been the thing that we've wanted it to compete with Roku and stuff like that. It's taken how many years for them to finally step up to it?
Yep, I agree. A little too long, especially with the implementation of the remote, which we saw a lot of other set-top boxes for the same price already had. So,
yeah, one thing that's really interesting about the new Chromecast with Google TV, what a name, is that whole Stadia support thing. So, if you want to jump into Stadia right now, does it make a lot of sense? There's a lot of confusing things going on with that. The Ethernet situation, there's actually an Ethernet adapter for Chromecast with Google TV. If you Google that exactly, it'll show up on their store. It's a pre-order for $20, and it launches at the end of the month. So you can get that Ethernet support, which is crucial for Stadia, but you don't have Stadia on the device officially until the first half of 2021. But you can technically sideload it, but that's not really a practical thing for the majority of people. So it kind of stinks. So you're left with the Chromecast Ultra that only exists purely for Stadia support, because you can only buy it within that Premier Edition package now. So I'm kind of unsure of whether or not I could suggest getting the Chromecast Ultra, because it's something that is clearly going to be phased out soon. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I would imagine Google's attention towards it or its support and developing it is going to go away with it. So it may be worth it to go through a little bit of the growing pains of getting the new Chromecast with Google TV, sideloading Stadia, and then making that work with the new Ethernet adapter with Chromecast. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a real bummer that folks are going to have to wait that long. I feel like the Stadia conversation is, you know, it is kind of a separate conversation, or it was a separate conversation, but now that this is out and we know that it's capable and it's a $50 device that would connect you to that, so ostensibly you'd get in for $70, it's a huge disappointment, because we've been waiting for Google to really put support behind this new cloud gaming platform, and it just feels like it's not actually a priority, which is like, so then what is the point of me adopting it? I'd rather just play games another way than try and adopt this new thing that a lot of people are not going to even know about it beyond like the errant billboard that maybe they run into if they happen to go to Best Buy right now. So I don't know, man. It's a long road ahead for Stadia.
It really is a bummer. Like, it was one of the things that stuck out like a sore thumb to me on this announcement, that Google was, you know, basically saying, here's our replacement to the previous device that did support Stadia officially, but this doesn't and won't until middle of next year. It really, to me, speaks volumes about Google's, and I hate to say it, Google's lack of attention on a deeper level to supporting its services like Stadia. And there's a lot of there's been a lot of fear about, like, oh, is Google going to do what it always does and, you know, be really interested in this thing for like a year, year and a half, and then start losing interest. And then 2.5 years later, it's going to be daydreamed and disappear entirely. And things like this don't inspire a whole lot of confidence that that won't happen. It's like, here you are, new device, and you're not supporting it for another half to three quarters of a year. Like, why? There's like no excuse as far as I'm concerned. So, yes, you can sideload it. You can make that happen, but you should just shouldn't have to. It's just a shame.
Yeah, our audience will be fine doing that, but it's just our audience's family members are going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Just give me a controller. Totally. In it which you will give them a Nintendo Switch controller, because those have been selling like hotcakes even before the pandemic happened. So
yes, fair enough. Fair enough.